This is Todd Wright. Thanks for listening to my podcast. Let me tell you about a couple of the companies that pay for the podcast so you don't have to. First of all, for your holiday gift giving, if you need to find a unique licensed gift for someone who is a fan of the Bucks, Lightning, Rays, USF Bulls, Knowles, or Gators, may I recommend theheadsandtails.com. The inventory you see on that website matches the exact inventory available in their wonderful retail location at 4524 West Kennedy Boulevard in Tampa. This is a boutique sports apparel and gift shop, and I have gotten to know the people involved with this very quickly since they became partners for the 2025-2026 Todd Wright Tour golf season. Theheadsandtails.com, or I encourage you, because you've probably driven past it if you live in the Tampa Bay area so many times, stop in. 4524 West Kennedy Boulevard in Tampa. They will help you with a unique gift idea for a fan of the Gators, Knowles, USF Bulls, Rays, Lightning, or Bucks. And if you're looking for something for any other sports team and you're like, well, they'll have, no. That's it. Those six. That's it. And they're very good at it. Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. I am a paid non-attorney spokesperson conveying this message. Brandon Legal Group hopes you do not need legal assistance. But if you do, they will offer you a free consult and show you what full service means in terms of what they do. 813-902-3576. Or request a free consult at brandonlegalgroup.com. They service the greater Tampa Bay area. Email is write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. Let me give you my thoughts on the CFP 12-team field. Overreacting, probably, to last year, where top four conference champions all got byes, top four conference champions getting byes all lost. So they thought, well, we'll solve that. That's a flaw. We'll just give the top four in the rankings all byes. So instead of Ohio State being a five and playing a home game in round one, they are a two this year with a bye. Instead of who would be next? Tulane would have gotten a first-round bye. Yeah. First-round bye and been the four instead of going on the road to Ole Miss as the 11. A little bit of a domino effect with other schools, but that's the basic part. Don't fall back on, well, the first four that got byes, they're going to be rusty and they're not playing at home, so they're going to lose the next round. It was a one-off. The changes were reactionary. I'm not saying the original model was right. This model may not be right. There are other changes coming that guarantee Notre Dame in this situation wouldn't happen again, and some other things as well as we head likely to a 16-team playoff. Also of note, if you're wondering why Miami and Texas A&M is an 11 a.m. local time start on Saturday, December 20th on ESPN and ABC and College Station, it's very simple. The NFL is playing a doubleheader that day on the 20th. So while no one will come out and say it, the best games in the minds of most people and from an ESPN programming standpoint, the games they keep are on Friday night, Alabama-Oklahoma in primetime, and Saturday, 12 noon Eastern time, Miami-Texas A&M, so they're not going up against an NFL game. The games they have spun off where they will produce and they will look like ESPN games, but they will air on TNT and HBO Max, I believe also True TV. They'll go up against NFL action later in the day on Saturday. That's why that's happening. So in order of the games that are played, Alabama at Oklahoma feels odd to say a conference game, but it is. Two SEC teams playing, Oklahoma at home. It would be a solid win for DeBoer or Venables to win this playoff game. And I have no problem with Alabama being the only three-loss team in the field. None. They earned the extra game. They lost it. They were beaten badly. But they have the signature win against Georgia from early in the year. And we don't ignore that. It happened this season. Then the next day, Miami gets in on the strength of head-to-head over Notre Dame, which takes its ball and goes home. Miami is at A&M. I will say this is a Keith Jackson special. And there were a lot of things to love about when Keith Jackson called college football. One of the things most important to me, or most fun to me, was what he called the Big Uglies. It was a different time. It was a compliment. There are a lot of Big Uglies playing in this game. Getting after it against one another. And if you know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, that's the way Miami and Texas A&M have recruited and built their teams around the line of scrimmage. A&M with just the one loss, Miami with two bad losses where they didn't execute well against two ACC teams that didn't make the ACC title game, would be much like for DeBoer or Venables as a first win in the playoff. Same for Mario or Elko to get that first win. It's one thing to be there. It's another thing to win and not be one and done. The games against the NFL that day, later in the day, with the huge point spreads. The first one is a rematch of an Ole Miss blowout of Tulane that happened in Oxford earlier in the year. The committee showing they don't give a shit about rematches, which sort of scratches my itch. Damn, why didn't they make Notre Dame? Why didn't they make Miami Notre Dame a rematch? They didn't. Had the dominoes fallen different, they might have. But we get a rematch, not that anyone wanted it. Tulane, Ole Miss. Tulane's coach on the way out. Ole Miss's coach already out. Awkward. But Tulane's coach stays and coaches. Good or bad thing? How distracted is he? He's already done pressers. He's already hiring at UF. And he's trying to win this game against Ole Miss, whose offensive coordinator is allowed to stay, even though he will be the offensive coordinator for Lane at LSU. This game feels weird. I'm not invoking this is Boise State, Oklahoma all over again. But this game feels weird with everything that's happening with distractions and it being a rematch months later. Night game, JMU, their head coach, has taken the UCLA job, but he coaches in the playoff. Oregon's top two coordinators are on their way out the door to respective jobs. That has me wondering about the future of Dan Lanning in Oregon. It really does. JMU gets in. They'll be a huge underdog at Oregon. Personally, And I like the JMU coach. I love that UCLA got him. I think it's one of the more underrated positive things of the coaching cycle that UCLA got JMU's coach. Penn State did not. That said, I think this should have been Duke's spot. Duke had a quality win this year, at least one. You just saw it. JMU, this one feels like they don't belong. The next round, the Oregon JMU winner advances to play Texas Tech in the Orange Bowl. This is going to be odd. If Oregon is traveling all the way to Miami to play a noon game on New Year's Day, and I've been to about 15 Orange Bowl games in my life, actual Orange Bowl games. Yes, I've been to a lot of games at the Orange Bowl when that stadium existed, and it still should. Thanks, Donna. That game going off at noon is odd. It's going to be really odd for Oregon. Granted, West Coast teams in the Big Ten can play on the East Coast and get the early time start. Game is probably Oregon against Texas Tech. It just, everything about that Orange Bowl game feels weird. Texas Tech being in the Orange Bowl, Oregon being in the Orange Bowl. The game played at noon and not in the Orange Bowl stadium. Texas Tech's defense is phenomenal. The next game on January 1. Oh, I'm sorry. We skipped over New Year's Eve. My bad. Well, let's go in order of the seeds. The 3 seed is Georgia, avenging their only loss of the year. Might finally be finding their way offensively, but Georgia's going to win with defense. And the national championships in recent years in college football are won by the team playing the best defense. It's not the case in the NFL. Defense is winning championships in the modern era in college football, not the NFL. So Georgia will face the winner of Tulane Ole Miss. And they're in a pretty good spot there, unless their offense completely lets them down, which could happen. The 2 seed is Ohio State. They will play on New Year's Eve at Jerry World against the winner of Miami and Texas A&M. Either way, this game will have a lot of eyeballs on it just because of Ohio State being defending champ, only lost in the Big Ten title game to number 1 Indiana, only fell to number 2. If Miami can get there, it'll invoke memories of 25 years ago, Miami-Ohio State national title game, where I accurately, leading up to the game, predicted Ohio State would win. If Texas A&M gets there, they're playing in the state of Texas against Ohio State, can probably match them, speaking of big uglies. A&M's offensive line and wide receivers, it's not like Ohio State has as big of an edge in those two areas against A&M as they would against anybody else. And then the late game on January 1, or I'm sorry, the Rose Bowl on January 1, they get Indiana, so they get half of a traditional matchup. They'll get an SEC team on the other side, either OU, which I think the last time they were in the Rose Bowl, Baker Mayfield was quarterbacking them against Georgia in a game that was like 55-52. Something like that, or Alabama, who was just in the Rose Bowl in what turned out to be Nick Saban's last game, also an overtime game, a loss to Michigan. A lot of red. Yeah, I believe in Indiana. You know, last year they went to Notre Dame and lost. I believe in them in this spot against OU or against Alabama. Much like Texas Tech has a strong defensive coordinator and defensive game plan, so does IU. So then the winners of the Orange Bowl and Rose Bowl face each other in the Peach Bowl a week later. The winner of the Sugar Bowl and Cotton Bowl face each other. in the Fiesta a week later, and then it's on to the national championship game. I wish all this could be moved up. If we can convince the conferences to get on the same page and that there's enough money to go around where you don't have to play the conference title game, there wasn't really that much at stake between Indiana and Ohio State. You can just declare a regular season champion another way, or whoever makes it further in the college football playoff. It would allow for these playoff games to move up the calendar, to not end on January 19th and get everything closer to the traditional end date of January 1. I'll leave it there for now. What do you think? Write.todd@yahoo.com. Write.todd@yahoo.com. I'll say one more thing on the way out. Knowing there's always people complaining. People were complaining when we had a Bowl Alliance. People complained this time of year when we had a Bowl Coalition. People complained when we had the BCS. People complained when we had the BCS plus one. People complained when we had the CFP with four. People are complaining with the CFP at 12. People will complain when the CFP goes to 16. The people who do the most complaining are usually the ones who aren't educated and let things take them by surprise rather than knowing what's going on. They're the ones who yell the loudest because they weren't paying attention the most. Write.todd@yahoo.com. 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 I just feel good that before the year began, I was talking to a friend of mine, no skin in the game here, and he just said, give me one team that's going to be really good this year that might come out of nowhere. And I said, it's Texas Tech. That head coach, what they did in the portal, that defensive coordinator, how is he not a head coach? We just went through a cycle of how many jobs being open. Did he not want to go? I'm not saying he will be a great head coach, but if there was anyone, if there was any defensive coordinator, did I miss something here? It's good for Texas Tech that he's not leaving. Him, that guy. If I was in a room anywhere that had an opening, months ago, I would have been saying, we need to talk to the Texas Tech defensive coordinator. See if he wants to be a head coach here. Him. And I have a lot of respect for the high school history and time at Baylor of the head coach as well at Texas Tech. But I don't think he's going anywhere. The D-Corps is, if he wants to. So yeah, they're live to me. It wouldn't stun me at all to see Texas Tech in the semifinals. Not sure they can get all the way to the end. ASU nearly did it last year as the Big 12 representative. And yes, I do think Miami was a solid, convenient hedge. Not saying they didn't deserve it. I think Duke did more than JMU. But the committee putting Miami in, leaving Duke out, prevents the ACC from saying, taking their ball and going home. Saying you did it to us again, like when you left out Florida State a couple of years ago, because they have a team in the playoff. But I would have liked to have seen Duke in the playoff. And I think they were a better choice for the playoff than James Madison. But I like the JMU coach going to UCLA for sure. All right, that's enough from me. Thank you for listening to the Todd Wright Toddcast presented by theheadsandtails.com and BrandonLegalGroup.com. We'll talk to you next time.